First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
For many of us in the United States of America, that brings a tear to the eye and a smile to the face. Hello, this is Karen Cataline filling in for Alan Nathan today, who is overseas, but I bet he watched that phenomenal moment as well. It's a new day in America. That's what I feel like. The day after the inauguration, when I and many people were glued to our television. I didn't watch a minute of it 4 years ago. And yes, I am not a journalist. I'm a commentator. And yesterday was a day that was truly the answer to a prayer for many of us. Do we expect perfection from Donald Trump and his team? No, none of us are perfect. But few people, well, no, many people, many of the voters who voted in a landslide to send Donald Trump back to the White House and fix the disasters that have befallen us and have threatened our republic and our very lives were cheering. And they know how perilously close we were to the end of America. And I do not say that lightly. You know that we talk about it here on the Alan Nathan Show on a regular basis. It is a true honor to be able to do talk radio at a time like this, at a moment like this in history. And to that end, because Alan would like me to tell you his motto, which is we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. One day, I want to talk with Alan Nathan about that. That's been his motto for a long time, and I don't think we disagree. On the other hand, it really has been the elites against all of the rest of us who not only just want to live our lives in peace, in freedom, but who have endured the complete shredding of the Constitution and of those things that we hold dear. Some of us weren't exactly surprised, but we're still horrified at the lengths to which the destruction of our country was taken. I have a couple of thoughts, and we are going to get some reactions from people that I love having on this program, including the wonderful John Zemirak, who will be with us for a couple of segments at the end of this hour. One thought that I have is that there are a lot of bandwagoners, people who have succumbed to social pressure that gave them Trump derangement syndrome. And people who are supposedly intelligent, highly accomplished people who really were a part of the Trump derangement syndrome and hated his guts, were willing to do anything to destroy him, to mean him, to vilify him. And This social pressure was used as a bludgeoning tool against the most gullible and most susceptible of all of us, using and abusing, turning our media into a propaganda arm of the radical Democrat Party, but also Hollywood and every sphere of influence had not been touched by this kind of hatred and vilification. I think some people figured it out when 2 days before the election, at around November 3rd, 2024, the same usual suspects referred to Donald Trump as Hitler, which is an appalling atrocity considering what Hitler actually did. It's just amazing to me. And then 2 days later, they're telling all their people, never mind, just like Emily Latella, don't worry about it, it'll be fine. So wait a minute, Hitler was going to come to power in the United States of America, but don't worry about it, it'll be fine. Everything they accuse the Republicans of, are the Republicans perfect? Heck no, they're not. Everything they accuse the Republicans of is what they did. Twitter featured Adam Schiff saying how horrible it would be and how obviously you would be guilty if you pardoned members of your own family before you left office. That's what he said in 2020. Now, anybody who took a preemptive pardon, which we've never heard of before, I hope it gets shot down somehow. A preemptive pardon? You haven't been charged with anything? But you're going to be pardoned anyway. Fauci apparently was pardoned for things he may or may have done in 2004. Yeah, you know what he was doing? He was helping to create a bioweapon to turn on American citizens. I got off the subject. I'm a little passionate this morning, as I so often am. The friends that you have who fell for it and are now jumping on the bandwagon, realizing Trump is not only not so bad, but is a marvel, everything that he has sustained, including, and we now have watched it together, the vilification, the charging him with crimes, lawfare, raiding his home, calling him Hitler, calling him the worst names they could, and nothing stuck. It only made him more popular. And even two attempts on the man's life, and still he was took the oath of office yesterday. We are living in astonishing times. Now those same bandwagoners are going to jump on the bandwagon of saying, well, it's okay. You know, Trump isn't so bad. I don't like him personally. That was one thing that I heard is, oh, Americans like his policies, but they don't like him. Well, that's part of the social pressure to dislike him too. Like they're going to be, you know, split the middle and say, well, I like his policies, but I don't like him. His policies have survived every possible vilification. His policies reflect a man who has integrity, who loves this country, and was willing to stand up, risk everything, including his own life, to preserve, protect, and defend those principles of the United States of America. And they don't like him personally? You know what? Those are gullible, susceptible people who can jump on a bandwagon and off. So my message on this is that we must be discerning, use these as teachable moments now that he is and has and intends to restore our freedom of speech, something that is absolutely essential to any kind of liberty for a free people. Speak out, use that freedom of speech more wisely and more confidently than ever. The people that you know who are sheepishly saying, you know what, I don't like him, but I like his policies, or he's a terrible person, but things are getting better, whatever it may be, teach them compassionately, kindly, and patiently to help them understand, because they don't want to admit that they were sold a bill of goods. They were conned into believing that this great American, yes, a great American, ripped everything for his country. And to watch him dance and cut a cake with our military, another moment that brought tear to the eye. He was still working at midnight last night, Eastern time, working on keeping his promises to the United States of America. I don't feel like I'm in any danger whatsoever of turning him into a god, as has been charged in the past. I'm Jewish. We don't turn humans into gods. We're all human, including Donald Trump. But rejoice this day and thank God for prayers answered. We're going to be right back with our list of guests, and it's a pleasure to do talk radio on this day. Karen Cataline, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
An engaging novel for readers aged 8 to 12 delivers a heartwarming exploration of the immigrant experience. The Partition Project by Sadia Farooqi tells the touching story of a Pakistani-American girl named Maha who forges a bond with her grandmother after learning about her difficult childhood experiences. When her grandmother from Pakistan arrives in Houston, Maha is more focused on her journalism class assignment to film a documentary. As they start talking, Maha learns about her grandmother's childhood in northern India and the partition that forced her to leave her home and relocate to the newly created Pakistan. Appalled by the continuing painful aftershocks of the partition, Maha realizes she found the topic of her documentary, author Sadia Farooqi.
The partition of India was the largest mass migration in history, and I wanted to help young readers learn about it in a relatable way. I hope this book helps readers, especially those who've been made to feel like they're from somewhere else, embrace who they are and provide a sense of belonging.
The Partition Project is now available wherever books are sold.
Join AmeriCorps this Martin Luther King Jr. Day as we come together to build a beloved community. MLK Day is the only federal holiday designated as a national day of service to encourage all Americans to volunteer. For 30 years, the MLK Day of Service has grown as more Americans embrace the idea that citizenship involves taking an active role in improving the communities where we live, work, and play. AmeriCorps Senior's foster grandparent, Florence Cunningham.
In March 1965, I joined Dr. King in Alabama for the march from Selma to Montgomery. Today, I honor Dr. King by serving with AmeriCorps Seniors as a foster grandparent. I found you can always learn from the children as they teach you some things you've forgotten. I'll always remember my experience with Dr. King and how I learned to be peaceful in whatever I do in life.
Find opportunities to volunteer for MLK Day of Service and help your community while honoring the legacy of Dr. King at AmeriCorps.gov/MLK Day. Sponsored by AmeriCorps.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today, who is overseas on a well-deserved vacation, but I know that he is keeping tabs on what's going on in America, which is quite a lot. I am delighted to have a very smart man. I haven't had a chance to talk to him in a long time, and what an eventful, momentous, many other adjectives, day to talk to Jonathan Emord, former GOP Senate candidate in the state of Virginia. He's a constitutional attorney and was a columnist for USA Today magazine, a co-host of the Sacred Fire of Liberty Hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And Jonathan E. Moore, thank you so much for joining us on this historic day after.
Well, you're quite welcome. It's a wonderful day.
It is indeed. Waking up to read those the explanations of those executive orders was also just brought a smile to the face. We don't have a lot of time, so I want to jump right into something. I requested somebody to talk to about this, and I know you are more than qualified to do so. So what does Donald Trump's January 6th order mean for future prosecutions and testimony when the previous president, who left yesterday, just pardoned the entire J6 committee? Can they testify? Can they be charged in a civil case? What can and what do you think is going to happen with that? It's huge.
So the J6 committee you're referring to specifically, not the J6ers that President Trump pardoned?
Yes, exactly. The I heard that there's a $1 billion lawsuit planned by those J6ers who were pardoned on the day of inauguration, but Liz Cheney and others from that committee, probably the whole committee, I don't know, were pardoned by Joe Biden for things they haven't even been charged with yet.
Right. So under Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1 of the Constitution, which is the pardon clause, the president of the United States is allowed to pardon people for offenses. That's the critical word, offenses against the United States. And to have an offense, you have to be able to articulate what act of wrongdoing or criminality you are pardoning a person for. And it has to be something for which there is liability under the criminal law. So what Biden's pardons do is quite extraordinary. First of all, he professes in each of them that the people he's pardoning committed no offense.
Right.
So he's by that very admission excluded it from the ambit of what the pardon clause is meant to do. And then secondarily, he is pardoning people for inchoate circumstances. That is, they're not defined. There's no crime. He has not identified in any instance a crime. And as I said, he's actually stating in the pardons that they did not commit a crime. As a consequence, these are incompetent under the Constitution, and if appropriately challenged, they should be deemed invalid pardons. And that's critical because if we don't do that, the precedent this would establish would enable a president, for example, to pardon everyone in the Republican Party or to pardon anyone who was in his administration, regardless of what the circumstances were. And that would invite criminality. That would have the effect of incentivizing criminality.
I just wrote that down. That's condoning lawlessness. It basically says you can do anything you want, get away with it because you've been pardoned preemptively. It's insane.
And that's not ridiculous. What the founders intended. The founders intended for the pardon power to be used to pardon for offenses. And by that, the public would be advised as to what the criminality is and what the nature of the pardon is. And it is a check. It's an executive check on the judiciary. Founding fathers understood that the judiciary might impose harsh sentences, and they meant for the president to be able to prevent someone from being unjustly detained for extensive periods of time because of the vagaries of decision-making in the federal courts, which might cause one judge to be oppressive or one court to be oppressive or a jury.
Jonathan,
so that's what it was intended to do.
How confident are you that this is going to be adjudicated clearly and fairly so the American people understand that that is not, as you put it, and I'm going to have a question, a follow-up, in that it is incompetent and invalid?
I think that there are likely to be challenges. The critical issue will be whether the parties challenging it have what's known as standing, whether or not they are directly adversely affected by it. And that's going to be the little bit of a juggernaut. However, many who were intent on prosecuting these individuals or wanted to, some of them, would be positioned well to do that. They would then file suit. The defense of a pardon would be raised, and then they would challenge the validity of the pardon, and then that would go up through the system ultimately to the Supreme Court.
And could they do that? I think they could with a civil case as well as a criminal case.
So it would have to be based on federal law. So it would have to be a federal cause of action because a pardon only extends to federal crimes. It would have to put squarely the issue of whether the person is prosecutable. So it's a bit of a juggernaut because you've got to find a United States attorney or a attorney general who would have a basis on federal law to sue and would be willing to do it. And I suppose you could even have a civil suit on federal law grounds where it directly implicates the party, and that would be under the Tort Claims Act or something like that. It would have to be directed to the person, have to arise under federal law.
Could they be sued personally, like in the case of Liz Cheney, doing all kinds of illegal, unethical, you know, documents or hiding evidence, exculpatory evidence?
You would have to meet a threshold hurdle of establishing that it was not within the ambit of their official duties as elected officer, elected member of Congress. But if you did, if it was outside the ambit of their official duties, involved criminality, suborning perjury, for example, would be a key one. You would be able to.
Jonathan, we're almost out of time, so I need a short answer, but I wish I had you for an hour because, you know, this, a lot of people have these questions because this stuff just happened. Use the word incompetent. Most people have lived with an incompetent president for 4 years, things that were unconstitutional, extra constitutional, including these pardons. Do you think there's any realistic likelihood that they can disavow stuff based on the fact that the previous president was not competent? They probably don't need to do that, but could they do that?
Well, if the incompetent president engaged in competent action, meaning that it was understandable and rational and consistent with the law, it would be upheld. But in this case, it's both an incompetent president doing incompetent things, and that makes it actionable.
An incompetent president doing incompetent things. I love it.
Yeah.
That is great. I can't wait to talk to you again as this all unfolds. It's a great day. And Jonathan Emord, how do people find you real quick?
They can go to emord.com, and they can also go to anh-usa.org.
Excellent. Jonathan Emord, E-M-O-R-D. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yes, we'll be right back with my friend John Zamira. Can't wait to hear what he's got on tap. This is Karen Cataline. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
We're going to start with a little bit of summer in the wintertime with the Lego Friends Heart Lake City Water Park from the Lego Group. $79.99, 814 pieces. Great way to bring imaginative fun to life. Great deals for Lego insiders online and in Lego stores. And then begin a new holiday decorating tradition with the Crayola light-ups from Crayola. Three figures that you can color and light up. We've got Santa, snowman, dragon, unicorn. When you're done, re-wipe them off and start again. Compounds continue to be really huge for kids. This is the Play-Doh Retro Diner 8-mega variety from Horizon Group. 8 different kinds of goo for kids to play with. Super fun, and you can see self-contained and all-scented. And then we love playing games at the holiday time. This is Upsell from Educational Insight. It's a shape matching game where the goal is to be the first out of your pieces by matching them on there. It's different every time you play, and we found this was highly competitive. We also loved playing Blank Slate from the Op Games. It's basically the idea is we have a open-ended question, egg blank, and the idea is everyone writes them down, and when you match, you win. Great way to get conversation going. The Biddyverse from Funko is the Biddy Pop figures in a whole new collectible form. This is the Harry Potter set. We've got the rides, we've got the towns, we've got the display. Really super fun. They're about $6 to $30 for the display. And finally, Optimus Prime, now in the Toy Hall of Fame. This is Transformers 1 Power Flip Optimus. We're going to take him, we're going to flip him, and he goes from Orion Pax to Optimus Prime. Super fun way for kids to interact with a favorite character. And for more, come visit us at thetoyguy.com.
Cenex has launched the second annual Hometown Throwdown competition. The contest invites individuals and organizations to nominate their hometown festival by sharing what makes their celebrations unique. Cenex will award $150,000 to 5 qualifying festivals this year, with the grand prize winner receiving $100,000. The Hometown Throwdown competition draws inspiration from the brand's deep local roots and builds on its long history of giving back to the communities it serves. The entry period for the competition starts January 7th and runs through February 7th, 2025. To be eligible, festivals must be run by a local chamber of commerce, municipality, downtown commission, community-oriented nonprofit group, or other similar organization. Additional information about Hometown Throwdown, including entry requirements and restrictions, can be found at CenexHometownThrowdown.com. That's C-E-N-E-X, HometownThrowdown.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, is now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show on the day after a glorious day, a new day in America. One of the first people I thought about wanting to talk to is our next guest, senior editor at The Stream. He was press secretary for Louisiana Governor Mike Foster, as well as a reporter and editor at Success Magazine and Investors Business Daily. He's co-author of at least 14 books, including No Second Amendment, No First. An eloquent speaker, passionate, and never minces words, John Zemirak is my guest right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, John.
Thanks, Karen. I feel like a black cloud that descended, toxic cloud that descended on the country in March 2020 with the COVID panic has finally been blown away by God's beautiful winds.
I couldn't have said it better. It's exactly how I feel. I wasn't terribly optimistic, and I don't think you were either, although we both have made many, many prayers for this to happen. Yeah. It's not that it's perfect. It's perfect enough for me. Tell me your thoughts.
It's like the colonoscopy is over and we don't have cancer. It's not that the procedure was fun.
Boy, isn't that the case. In this case, though, truly, I got used to that black cloud, John, for so long. For me, it's been about 15 years, that cloud of fear that our country was not going to survive. Yes.
The arrival of Obama, who was a kind of cult figure for a whole generation of religionless, but moralistic, upper middle class, prosperous people who smeared white guilt all over themselves like a sunscreen trying to pass for Park Avenue Unitarians. I've got a piece at stream.org. I hope people check out. The title is "With Trump, America Inaugurated a Return, Not to Faith, But to Reason." And I'm focusing on Donald Trump in his great inaugural speech, saying there was a return to common sense. Common sense. Now, that sounds not that impressive, but really, when you unpack it, common sense is the gift of reason. Reason is what distinguishes us from the animals. Reason is what tells us we are images of God. Modern science was only made possible because of the biblical belief that a reasonable God had created the universe in an orderly way and given us minds that could understand the universe. That's why science rose in the West and nowhere else, because everywhere else, the universe was seen as fundamentally chaotic, at the whim of irrational gods or cosmic forces that we couldn't understand. And if you want to learn more about that, read Rodney Stark's book, The Triumph of Reason, or Stephen Meyer's recent book, The Return of the God Hypothesis, or follow the work of the Discovery Institute, who do great work showing how intelligent design helps us to reinvigorate the world with meaning by rationally studying the universe and science, actually doing science the way Isaac Newton and Pascal and Louis Pasteur, all devout religious people, did science. What Trump is doing, what Trump did when he said the U.S. government will only recognize two genders, male and female, he was asserting reason over blind faith. What has been animating the left for the past 15 years has been a kind of post-Christian religion that's based on grabbing, it's like a cargo cult. It grabs pieces of Christianity, pieces of Judaism, pieces of the Enlightenment, breaks them from their context, and cobbles them together in like some hideous collage as a replacement for the God of the Bible. And only that kind of irrational religious frenzy of the kind you saw Jim Jones doing in the jungle in his socialist cult in Guyana, that's the only thing that explains why the Democrats would think open borders is a good idea, castrating and mutilating children is a good idea, aborting babies by the millions is a good idea, getting in foreign wars with no hope of victory, getting desperately into debt and just printing more money to cover it. None of these things are rational policies that some cool calculating agnostic would come up with. These are the frenzy tenets of a psychologically disturbed or demonically possessed religious cult of the kind Jim Jones ran. And that's what we've seen. That's why so many liberals are walking away from the Democrats, because they can't rationally defend having a surgeon general who's a drag queen. They can't defend having a president who's obviously suffering from dementia and lying about it, imprisoning peaceful protesters from January 6th, but letting the George Floyd rioters walk free. There is no rational case to be made for the left.
Except, John, and I talked about this in my monologue, opening monologue. There are, and I know you know them too, very, you know, reasonably, if not above average, intelligent people. I know them in synagogue. I know them in other places. They're attorneys, they're doctors, they're people that seem to have a rational brain. And yet they jumped on this bandwagon and believed the most preposterous things, like that Trump was Hitler 3 days before he suddenly wasn't. That defunding the police, some of them didn't believe that, defunding the police was a good idea. And those people, I think, succumbed to the bludgeoning tool of a communist left that used social pressure to disabuse people from that very thing that you're talking about, common sense.
Of course. I mean,
do you know those people?
Well, very intelligent people were involved in the witch trials in Great Britain, in Germany, and in Salem, Massachusetts. Highly educated theologians, scientists. Some of the most intelligent people were sucked into the Communist Party in America. Most of the Nazi SS had PhDs or advanced scientific degrees. Demons. And that's because what's going on is not a failure of the intellect. It's a demonic hijack of the intellect. And the demons are smarter than us. Albert Einstein couldn't compete with the lowest level demon. This is a spiritual thing. As a replacement for the God of the Bible, they have created an idol, a fetish. I think it used to take the form of Barack Obama, but the kind of the red paint has come off that particular Schwinn bike. They're looking around for a new.
I don't know if I agree. I think he's going to make a comeback. I do.
No,
but that's beside the point.
He just looks like a nasty. He's just like a bitter old queen now. Black people laugh at him. He is as used up as Bill Clinton.
From your mouth to God's ears, John, because he was deceptive in every word and deed he did. I don't care what color he was.
He's deceptive. The scenes, but yeah. He's not their public face. He's probably next to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is being shaped to be the next cult leader of the left. And she's already like made political compromises and turned herself into Nancy Pelosi after a tanning bed. But they are looking now for their next cult leader. But we have to remember the left is a religious movement. It is, it's not non-Christian. It's anti-Christian. It's in a sense, anti-Christ. Everything true in Christianity, they flip on its head. Everything difficult in Christianity, they throw out the window. So it is a religious movement. Look at the trans movement. 15 years ago, did most left-wing people think there were 47 genders? No.
No.
Was there some scientific experiment that turned it up? No. Bruce Jenner appeared on the cover of Vanity Fair. He should win the Nobel Prize for Medicine because by doing that, he discovered 45 extra genders. This is a religious movement.
It's astonishing.
However, like the explosion of Mormonism.
Do you think it's important? You know, I like you do, too, to get to the very heart and bottom of it. It may not be as persuasive, but I wish people, when they do get a clue, when they do come out of denial, and some are just beginning to come out, that they realize that these preposterous notions had a demonic plan, which was and is communism and tyranny. That's why they're pushing. It isn't just a religion. It's religion with a point. Yes, go ahead.
Right. And, you know, it's actually worse than Soviet communism. What the left wants in America, the Soviets would never have put up with transgenderism. This is worse.
No, but they were useful idiots. John, you hear music? I am so delighted. You're going to wrap up this hour with us, and we're going to get another segment with John Zemirak. Let him go to town, which he does. Karen Cataline, stay tuned for more of the Alan Nathan Show. The Alan Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network. We'll be right back.
If you're like most people, there's no telling how far you'll go for the promise of a post-holiday getaway to a land of sunshine. Emily Kaufman, a.k.a. The Travel Mom, can help.
Finding a location that offers a bit of magic for everyone is the key to an unforgettable stay. That's what I love about Disney Vacation Club resorts. They give members and guests the opportunity to stay within the magic while enjoying the comforts of home. Members and guests vacationing at a Disney Vacation Club resort can choose to stay in a variety of different accommodations, including deluxe studios, one-bedroom villas, two-bedroom villas, and even three-bedroom grand villas at most locations. Members can choose from exciting vacation destinations like the brand new Island Tower at Disney's Polynesian Villas and Bungalows that's right in the heart of the magic of Walt Disney World. It's inspired by the spirit of the Polynesian Islands, the Walt Disney Animation Studios film Moana, and the beauty of the natural world.
For more information or to plan your next Walt Disney World vacation, visit DisneyVacationClub.com.
'Tis the season for giving, and gift cards are always a holiday favorite. In fact, gift cards have been the most requested gift for nearly 20 years and counting, but they've also attracted the attention of crafty criminals who intend to misuse them. So how can you buy with confidence? Follow these Gift Smart tips. Before you buy a gift card, inspect the card and packaging closely. Look for rips, cuts, or any signs of tampering, like damaged scratch-offs that cover the pin. If you notice tampering, give the card to an employee and choose another one. And always buy from trusted brands, keep your original receipt, and only send gift cards via trackable shipping methods. While gift card fraud exists, it impacts only a small fraction of cards sold, and the industry is working hard to prevent fraud with continual improvements to packaging and processes. In fact, the Retail Gift Card Association and many well-known brands partner with government agencies and law enforcement to stop scams and hold criminals accountable. Want more Gift Smart tips? Visit giftcardsafety.org.
With peak carbine season coming up, One thing you want to think about is how does that affect your insurance? So a couple recommendations we have is make sure you're always reviewing your policy. Whether you're adding a new vehicle, adding a driver, or just updating your coverage overall, you want to make sure that you're reviewing your coverage and the price. One way to do that is to consult an independent agent because they can help you navigate the tricky insurance buying process. The second thing is, how do you become more insurance savvy? So a couple recommendations we have is to understand some of the basic terms. The first one is deductible. That's the amount of coverage that you pay before your coverage kicks in. And it's important to keep in mind that the higher deductible you take, the lower your premium is. But remember, if you do have a claim, that's the amount that you're going to be paying. So you want to make sure it fits within your budget. The second term is premium, and that's what you pay for the coverage that you're getting. One way to find an independent agent is to go to agent.travelers.com and find a local agent near you.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we are wrapping up this first hour with one of my favorite guests, John Zamarak, senior editor at The Stream and also a prolific writer, writing his latest book, No Second Amendment, No First. Thank you so much for staying with us, John Zamarak.
Speak to you, Karen. I love that Donald Trump did unconditional pardons for 99% of the January 6th defendants and commuted the sentences of the rest. The persecution of these Americans who were democracy protesters demonstrating against provable voter fraud, that our courts were colluding in refusing to examine the evidence. You had like 15 Republican attorneys general submit a lawsuit to the Supreme Court, which had the nerve to say that they didn't have standing to sue over election fraud. What we saw was it was a comprehensive elite conspiracy to steal the 2020 election for a candidate who was non-compos mentis, who was clearly not actually going to serve in office as president. So who was running the country? Who was the secret committee formerly known as Joe Biden? I think we're starting to get some answers. We need to find out the answers. Which Obama staffers were actually running the country for 4 years who had never been elected, using Joe
some
Biden
of them admitted
as a kind of meat puppet?
Some of them admitted, amazingly, that they knew he was non compos mentis all along.
I
were
think
they them
50,
or somebody else?
Right. I think the 51 intelligence officers who signed that letter lying that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation, we should start with them. They were probably the committee. And some of them were Republicans. We have to remember, the worst villains in the last 4 years have been people like Mike Pence, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, all these fake Republicans, these Vichy Republicans who were serving our elites and gaslighting us and telling us Donald Trump was a deranged extremist and his followers were racist and quasi-fascist. These people who are allegedly on our side were the worst. Purging the Republican Party and purging the deep state are the two highest priorities. And the way I see it is, these Trump Republicans, these never Trump Republicans, they're worse than the Democrats. The way, if you have a noisy neighbor who plays loud, horrible music to all hours of the night, that's a problem. Okay, that's like the Democrats. If you have a squatter in your house eating your food, sleeping with your spouse, that's a lot bigger problem.
Well,
the
especially
rhinos are the enemy within.
Especially people who you look to protect you, to use a mental health analogy. Children who are abused are sometimes angrier at the non-protecting parent because they're the ones who are supposed to protect them from abuse. No?
Remember Mitt Romney posing as the face of principled conservatism? Remember Paul Ryan? Look, we still have Mitch McConnell skulking around. Mike Johnson is no bargain, but I think he's at least afraid of Trump. So he may be obedient for a while. But we need to get rid of people like Tom Tillis. There are so many people in Congress, Republicans, who sided with the Democrats. In my own state of Texas, there was a backstage coup where liberal Republicans teamed up with the Democrats, and they elected the Speaker of the Republican-controlled Texas House, who's going to be appointing Democrats to chair important committee.
Dade Phelan. That's right. Yep.
No, he actually got removed. He's been replaced with a guy, Dustin Burroughs, who is his ally, who's going to continue the same thing. Thank God for people like our Attorney General Ken Paxton and Alan West, chairman of the Dallas County Republican Party. We are fighting to take our party back from the Karl Rove, George Bush machine that runs it behind the scenes.
Yeah, and how ironic that you're doing that in Texas, the place where the name Bush was sacrosanct. It ain't anymore, is it?
Oh, no. I mean, again, at the country clubs he goes to, at the country clubs where he golfs, I'm sure they still pat him on the back because he helped get them their cheap Mexican nannies and their cheap Honduran lawn yard workers.
Right.
It was a conspiracy of the Republicans who want cheap labor and the Democrats who want cheap votes.
Gosh, there's so many directions I can go in our last 2 minutes. What I want to do is direct everyone to your latest article that I just put up on my notes. With Trump, America inaugurated a return not to faith, but to reason. John Zemirak, thestream.org. Any final thoughts about where we're heading after not even 24 hours of this new president? Yes.
The most important thing people can do right now is pray for Trump's physical safety.
Yes.
For the exposure of lies, for the rectification of injustice, and for honest, patriotic people to be hired by the Trump administration, courageous people who are willing to face down our vindictive, angry, frightened elites who tried to turn America into a fascist dictatorship over the past 4 years.
God, nobody better than John Zemirak. I want to thank you. It seems like we're turning a page to use a page from the radical left. We've turned the page from a dark cloud to a new day in America.
You can't see it, but I'm doing that idiotic turn the page gesture that Tim Walz's psychotic wife did. Turn the page.
We were on their page. We'd been on their page for years, and they're saying, turn the page. I mean, it was hilarious. And it backfired spectacularly. This really is a page turner to watch America survive dying by a hair's breadth. Thank you so much.
The millimeter miracle. God bless, Ken.
Unbelievable. God bless to you, too. And keep up the great work. We need your voice out there. John Zamarak, everyone. Appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break, and at the top of the hour, we're going to have a whole nother hour. You can hear it in my voice. I have genuine elation for America today, and I feel blessed and proud to be living in a country that found its soul. And it's going to be a long road, but it's most definitely a road worth taking. I think I let him go just a couple of seconds too soon. Many of us have had many sleepless nights over the feared demise of our country. As I think it was in Eisenhower, the rumor of America's demise is largely overestimated, something like that. I ruined it. We're going to have another hour after this. Karen Cataline filling in for Alan Nathan here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.